The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Listening to the Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Red Sox failed to complete the sweep against the Arizona Diamondbacks, losing tonight 7-6 in extra innings. Peyton Tolley, unfortunately, not quite as sharp in this outing. Perhaps was left in too long, something we'll get into. And unfortunately, as good as the offense was, they were not good enough to overcome the struggles of the bullpen late in the game. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Jeremy and Matt. And guys, I'll be honest, to me, this was a frustrating loss because I feel like Tolley was kind of cruising, wasn't doing that bad. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's got two on, you know, Gabriel Moreno, Arizona's best hitter, up at the plate. The pitch count's up there. Tracy decides to leave him in there. And what happens? Moreno hits the big shot. Arizona goes up and Red Sox do eventually tie it by a miracle shot from Mickey Gasper, who three home runs in three games. That's pretty spectacular, but unfortunately they falter late. So Jeremy, I'll start with you. Who do you put this loss on? Do you put it on the manager? Do you put it on the bullpen? Do you put it on Tolley? Where are you kind of sitting with this one?
Well, I mean, if you're going to put it on the bullpen, then I would lean more on towards the injuries to the back end. So you got to throw Chapman in the ninth in a tied game, and then you don't have a swing and miss guy for the 10th, which you really need to avoid the ghost runner from scoring. So, you know, it's just a product of where this team's at overall. It was a solid series. They won the series. I'm not necessarily upset, but like you, I'm frustrated with the result. Tolley's cruising, but where I think he actually ran into trouble, I think, was the third inning, first and third. Ball to Durbin, and he throws him out at the plate, and Tolley really had to work to get out of that jam. And I think that manifested itself in the fifth when he seemingly ran out of gas. Because like you, through the fourth, I'm like, I know his pitch total's up a little bit, but I think he can get us through six innings. He's been so good recently, and then he just ran out of gas. Look, Tolley's your ace. Like, I don't think anybody's going to spend a bunch of time arguing with me on that. So do you give him the chance to get through the fifth inning when he's under 100 pitches? I think the answer is yes. I obviously see these things both ways for the most part, but in the moment, I expect Tolley to get him out. And if he is your ace, then you got to count on him for innings, and you maybe have to use another reliever if he can't get through the fifth. So to me, that wasn't the issue. I think where we felt it today was the depleted bullpen and the inability to use the momentum with the Mickey Gasper home run to push a run across there. And then you walk in a run in the 10th to give it the two run instead of the one run. And now you change the way you have to play the bottom of the 10th. So, you know, it's a frustrating loss. They're playing better baseball, which is my larger takeaway from the series. They have a day off. And we're probably going to get some news here on Story and Anthony. So I'm sure that's something we're going to talk about. But I'm sure we'll do that before we move on to the Giants. But that's my takeaways.
It's hard for me to put this loss solely on Tolley there. You're right, Jeremy. The third inning, he was in trouble. And then the Diamondbacks ran into an out. So we took advantage of it. He kind of got out unscathed from that inning. Tough fifth inning for sure. Pitch count was getting up there. I think in that situation, there's probably two hitters I just don't want to see right there from Tolley's perspective. Moreno being one of them, one of their better hitters, one of the better hitting catchers in the league. Obviously hit the grand slam last night, did all the damage in yesterday's game. And then Arenado, just because he rakes at Fenway and he's, you know, a professional hitter against lefties. But I can't really say I have too much problem leaving Tolley in there to try to finish the inning. oddly enough, all of our pitchers tonight started clean innings and finished their innings, no matter how well or poorly they were pitching. You know, pinch hit, two-run bomb from Nubar. That one really hurt, I think, more than those three runs that Tolley gave up. But let's not forget, Duran was very close to making an excellent play there in the fifth inning. And then, you know, we probably are talking about a sweep if he comes up with that ball. I think it was in his glove and bounced out. I actually had to turn on the radio broadcast for that inning, so I missed the actual, like, play itself. They said it kind of popped out of his glove. But if he comes up with that catch, obviously we're not even talking about it. I think we're talking about a sweep. But he didn't, and the Diamondbacks capitalized. Let's face it, the Diamondbacks are a good team. They're vouching for a third wild card spot in the National League, which is a much harder league than ours. I think overall we're playing decent baseball. In terms of kind of the pitching management, I actually had some more issues. You know, once Mickey Mantle Gasper, that's what they call him in the streets now, tied it up with an unbelievable shot, I kind of thought it's a race to the ninth because, I mean, Jeremy, you're right. Bullpen is not fresh right now. Nobody's bullpen is fresh. Actually, the Diamondbacks probably a little fresher because Lovello did a great job managing the bullpen. So I thought the longer this game went on, the more advantage to the Diamondbacks because our guys were – that was our 16th game in 16 days. I think it was the 26th game in 27 days. So this has been a bear of a stretch for this team. I really can't blame it on the bullpen in total there. But I thought Guerrero giving you nine pitches in that eighth, we could have stretched him out in the ninth and then have Chapman available for the 10th. Because, again, when we're short Whitlock, we're forced to come out Weissert in the sixth, right? Now we're kind of extending our bullpen longer than we'd like in that scenario. Chapman, relatively fresh. You didn't have to throw him last night or the night before. But I think coming out of that eighth inning where Guerrero looked clean, got out of it with nine pitches, I thought you could have stretched him for another inning in the ninth and then come out with Chapman in the 10th if you needed him. Because I think the longer that game goes on, the more advantage the Diamondbacks have, a little bit fresher arms, having some off days and not having to go through their bullpen in games one and two the way, you know, I think the Sox actually use more pitchers than them despite their offensive success. So I think I'd like to see Guerrero in there more. And then, yeah, Moran had some issues. He got that double play ball, but one batter too late, you know, that six run scored, which Arenado just bloops one right over the infield, which was playing in. And it's kind of like, it's hard to second guess that if they're playing back, it's an out. But it was really, he didn't get that double play ball in time. He walked that seventh run in, and that was the difference. So tough loss for sure, but we'll take it. We'll take the series win. We kind of righted the ship there. I have some numbers overall, Jason. I don't know if you had some more takes on just the pitching in general tonight before I get to kind of the overall stretch here these last few weeks.
No, go for it. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, some of these numbers were coming into today, so it may have changed with our loss right now. But, you know, there since June 25th, which is kind of when this thing all turned around for us, right? Well, something happened on that flight home from Colorado. We pummeled the Yankees right when we came home from that. But, and again, this was as of last night. Since June 25th, the team ranked first in winning percentage, first in runs scored, first in fewest runs allowed, first in run differential, first in ERA, second in batting average, first in OBP, second in slugging, first in OPS. You know, that's almost a two-month stretch here. I know we were the worst team in baseball for the first 2.5 months, but it's a large enough sample size. You know, that's 36-12 now since that time. And I kind of want to shoot you guys a question, right? 36-12 in that record since June 25th. Do you guys know what their record is versus teams above 500 versus teams below 500? And you can throw out wins or percentage, whichever works for you.
They're better against good teams. I know that.
Yeah, I would correct. Say the same. Yeah.
So tonight was their first loss versus a team above 500 since June 25th. Up until today, they were 19-0 against teams above 500.
That's not even, I mean, it is believable because I know it's true, but it's so ridiculous that it doesn't feel believable.
Add it to the list of unbelievable stats that we've seen this year, whether it be the 15-game winning streak, the 31-5 or 32-5 stretch in between, 21-4 in July, right? Even the other night, Monday night's game where every starter had a hit or every starter had an RBI and there were no strikeouts in the game. I mean, just incredible numbers. By the way, they're 17-12 against teams below 500. So not too bad against teams below 500. That's probably the winning percentage you want throughout the course of the season. But, you know, they decreased now to 19-1 against teams above 500 since June 25th. And like I said, look, they're coming off 16 straight games. They went 8-8 in that stretch. You want to see some more wins against, you know, the A's, the Blue Jays during that time. But it's a tough time of year, right? The team is definitely banged up. We do have some positive reports, I think, from Roman, at least his performance in yesterday's game. I'm not sure how he did tonight. Story on the way back, which, you know, I don't want to talk about him, but we have to talk about him because for some reason he's playing shortstop in AAA, even though I don't think he's the best shortstop on the Woo Sox currently right now. But my greater point is, despite the loss tonight, I think they're still playing good baseball. I think they're still a good baseball team. We're now first in run differential in the American League, third best in the record in the American League. So I think it's a good team. We're definitely riding on some fumes. We need to get some reinforcements back. But, you know, we've got a pretty good stronghold on this second wildcard spot right now. And, you know, right now it's about continuing to play good baseball, right? Make the right plays. Don't run into outs. Continue to keep that lineup moving. And as long as we continue to get, you know, even a notch below the pitching we've been getting, then we're going to be in a lot of ball games.
Yeah, I think if they hadn't played as poorly as they did against Pittsburgh over the weekend, this loss wouldn't bother me that much because you still won the series. As you guys pointed out, you won the series against potentially a playoff team in the National League, right? And, you know, look, Arizona's without Ketel Marte right now. They're going through a weird thing with him. So, but he's not even their best player. He's had a decent year, but he's not their best player right now. This kid Moreno is. He's their best hitter. Him and Corbin Carroll are carrying that team. So, look, those guys beat you. And, yeah, it's frustrating, but you still won the series. And you guys are right. The Red Sox are going through a stage right now where their bullpen is kind of stretched. They're stretched pretty thin. Guys like Teron Guerrero, who, you know, again, people forget, this guy's a 36-year-old, you know, journeyman that, you know, they kind of discovered something with. But now he's being asked to pitch almost every day for this team because Whitlock is out, Slayton's out, Chapman looks like he might be fading a little bit. So, you know, Tracy and the team, they have a real difficulty with trying to navigate how to do the bullpen. And look, Peyton Tolley usually can give you at least six, but they don't really have, apart from Sonny Gray, they don't have guys that can go deep into ball games. Even Ranger Suarez hasn't been doing that. Ranger Suarez has been getting to the fifth, sixth inning, and then he's starting to burn out. Yeah, we saw it with Tolley tonight. The pitch count got way up there. And, you know, the rest of your rotation, you can't rely on Patrick Sandoval to give you a lot of innings. So they're in a tough spot right now where the starting pitching is, I don't want to say it's failing them because that's too strong, but it's not as robust as it was, you know, a month ago, right? You know, in July when they were on that incredible streak where, you know, it was Tolley, Suarez, Gray. You know, all these guys were giving you six, seven innings, and then you could just go, okay, Whitlock, Guerrero, Chapman, boom, game over. You can't do that now because you got injuries and you guys starting to fade. And look, we haven't brought up Peyton Tolley in the innings limit or inning count for that matter, but he's never pitched as much in his career. So that's going to come back and bite them at some point. And, you know, Jeremy, you said earlier, Peyton Tolley's their ace. That's kind of a scary thought because, I mean, I don't want him pitching 200 innings this year. Like, that's way too big of a leap for him. But also, you know, we talked about it last night. If you were starting a playoff series, you usually go with three pitchers, right? It's going to be Gray, it's going to be Tolley, and it's going to be Suarez. So you're going to rely on those guys. So
I would go starter Bayo over Suarez right now.
So, and that's fair because Suarez, the last couple of starts, has not looked very sharp. Right. So they've got some decisions to make, and having a depleted bullpen makes that even tougher. So it's a frustrating loss, but at the same time, like, you know, you got the Giants coming in this weekend. They absolutely stink. So you should be able to at least take two of three, hopefully sweep them. Although, wouldn't it be just so fitting of the Red Sox to, you know, the Giants are coming in. They're, you know, they sold at the deadline. Devers is really their only great player that's left, and the Red Sox will somehow lose two of three to that team because it just feels like that's where they are right now. Like, as you guys said, they play down to their competition. Yes, they can beat teams over 500, but it's almost like, you know, you felt good about the Arizona series until tonight, Now you got a day to stew on it tomorrow with the off day. And here come the Giants. And here comes Rafael Devers on his revenge tour. It just feels like they could lose 2 out of 3 this weekend. And then we're really starting to question things.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into the predictions a little bit later, but there's some good right-handed sticks in that Giants lineup, you know, Chapman and in the shortstop there. And then, of course, Devers, I'm sure he'll put a few balls in the seats when he comes back to Fenway. But, yeah, hopefully they can stop that trend of playing down to their competition and continue to play up to their competition. But I still think that's a pretty good three-headed monster. I agree with you. I want to see more from Suarez in terms of going deeper into games. His numbers, like in totality, are looking okay, but I really need to see him go in 6+, right? Take me into the 7th inning, give me 6 full innings. Even if you give a 4 like you did last night, that's giving him a chance to win. That's giving us a chance to hand it off to our top 3 bullpen arms, like you said, Jason. And when Whitlock's back, that's 4 arms. So you can kind of rotate those 3 and hopefully give one of those guys, you know, an extra day where they need it. And I don't know. At this point, we're probably looking at a Suarez-Bayo combo in whatever game that they start in the playoffs. If the season were to end today, Suarez gives you his, you know, 3 1/3 or 4 innings that he's been giving you, and then Bayo comes in and shuts the door. I don't like the thought of Bayo starting a game. I just if it's not broke, don't fix it. But yeah, I think, look, Peyton Tolley's been shoving. He still hit 99 a few times in that first inning. I took a quick look. He's got 115 innings heading into today. So you scared me, Jason, when you said 200 innings. I don't think he's going to get there.
120.
Yeah, he should be at 120 now after the 5 today. So 115 heading into it. But I don't think he'll get to 200. But look, yeah, he's in uncharted territories for sure. Bennett, it looks like, I try to take a quick look at the matchups again, not to spoil it, but it looks like they're going to give him a few days off in between. I think he's starting Sunday's game. So he started last Friday versus the Pirates, right? That's a couple days extra rest. But I don't know. The concerns with the pitching staff are certainly valid. They have not been going deep into the games. I see the comment in here. If I grew a blank Matthew, I would look like Mickey. I'm assuming he means goatee. By the way, Mickey Gasper, the mustache wasn't cutting it, but he comes back up in a goatee and he goes yard in all 3 of his games. So something's working with the mustache, Billy Conran, we see in the chat here. But yeah, valid concerns about the pitching staff. I still like Gray to be the stopper on Friday. I think he's going to pitch well. He was really spinning the rock well and making it difficult for hitters to hit the ball. And Ranger, although not going deep into ball games, still one of the elite pitchers in terms of hard hit contact rate, which with this defense playing behind him, you know, I think he's playing to one of the strengths in the team. And I know there's some knocks on him, but every Phillies fan I know, which is about 2 people, they loved Ranger Suarez. So I think the key to his success is let's get him to October and see what he can do. He really does have a great track record in October. And if they're kind of babying or coddling him right now, just to make sure that he's fresh for October, I'm all for it, but we definitely have some work to do. It's not going to be, you know, coasting and smooth sailing to the playoffs just yet. We still have to win some more ball games here.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the pitching staff, it is what it is at this point. You know, I don't think you can count on Garrett Crochet down the stretch. I know he's starting to throw from 90 feet now, but, you know, he does not sound like a guy who is anywhere close to ramping up to actually give you anything of value, you know, in terms of, you know, a playoff push here. So I think you're pretty much stuck with what you got. Sounds like Whitlock could be back before the end of the year. Slayton, who knows? I mean, the fact that he's had elbow discomfort all year does not give me a lot of confidence in those reports. So we'll see what happens there. In terms of the offense, there are some reinforcements that could be on the way. So I was just checking. Roman Anthony did not start tonight down in Double A because, of course, we're the Red Sox. So, you know, a night after he hits a bomb, you know, and has 2 hits and 2 walks, let's let him sit because his hand might be tired. Like
scheduled off day.
Yeah. Typical Red Sox. Let's pump the brakes and not give you anything exciting. So Roman Anthony did not play tonight because, you know, that one game took a lot out of him. Trevor Story did play for the Woo Sox tonight, had another 2 hits and an RBI. He's hitting .333 so far down there. Sounds like Trevor Story is pretty close to coming back. I said last night on the show, I think Trevor Story being activated is imminent. I think it could happen as early as this weekend. Sounds like he's ready to come back. And, you know, I sort of mentioned, like, I'm not sure I really want him back in this lineup. It's tough because, yeah, like, you'll take any reinforcements you can get, but Trevor Story sucked before he got hurt. And, yeah, I know that he's, you know, it was a sports hernia thing and, you know, not his fault, and he looks pretty good so far in Worcester, but I just worry that you're going to add so many more strikeouts to this lineup. And look, this lineup, when it does damage, they put bat on the ball. They move runners over. They take walks. And now you're going to add Trevor Story to that mix. He's the exact opposite kind of player. And, you know, Nick Sogard, I think, kind of hears the footsteps because hit a home run tonight, had two hits. Like, I don't think he's ready to give up that second base position, but it does sound like Trevor Story is on his way back. Jeremy, I'll kind of start with you on this one. Like, do you want Trevor Story back? Are you in any way excited about that? Or are you just kind of like, eh, all right.
I have no interest in Trevor Story being a part of the team. So I hate these abbreviated rehab assignments. We saw what it did to Rutschman. If you're hitting at 20 at-bats, bring them up. If you're not, they go to 30 at-bats. That's been my thought on rehab assignments for anything over 3 weeks. So Rutschman's gone 3 weeks. He comes back, and everybody on Twitter is eviscerating his 0 for, or 1 for 17 or whatever it is. He gets past 20 at-bats. He starts hitting. It's like, I get it. He plays a premium defensive position, and might that be a reason to shorten the rehab assignment? Sure. Trevor Story does not do anything great, okay? He has missed months with the surgery, and he has not seen any pitching. And I know he had two hits today, but as of yesterday, he went 0 for 3 with two strikeouts on guys that did not throw hard. And the story on Trevor Story for years has been he cannot hit high-end fastballs unless he cheats on them. And then that has the effect on his at-bat, because then you can get him off speed. And he doesn't have competitive at-bats. So you have a guy who had a hernia surgery, missed multiple months, and already has a slow bat. And you're going to bring him up to the big leagues after 7 minor league at-bats and expect what? Plus defense? Give me a break. It just isn't who he – and look, I hate to see him continually get hurt because it just sucks. But he isn't the answer for this team. Part of what we do is play athletically, put the ball in play, and play defense. Now, as it were, Montesario is a negative defender, and I get it. It sounds to me like Sogert has won the second base position from Siegler. I would send Siegler down, and I'd bring up Chang, and Chang would be my shortstop with a lead beyond the seventh inning. Matt agrees. Where does Story make you better with Sogard at second, Montesario hitting and playing the game if they're behind, because he's a much better offensive player than any other chance, and Chang coming in defensively with a lead? Sogard's a switch hitting infielder that has played first, has played third. I believe he's got some innings at shortstop. I don't remember that specifically. But he gives you the utility position if he's not starting. It, to me, Story just doesn't fit. Certainly not now after 7 at-bats. If he's in the lineup on Friday and he goes 0 for 4 with 3 Ks, I'm going to kick somebody off the podcast on Friday night. I'm going to come on here and I'm going to bitch and moan about being giving favoritism to a guy because of a contract that does not deserve to be here. It's absolute horseshit. And it's so predictable because we just saw it happen to Rutschman, and I'm all for the Anthony bomb. But immediately they start, well, when's he going to be up? Like, guys, this isn't Ohtani, okay? He has had a decent second half of 2024. Then he got hurt and missed the year. And this year he has had an extended layoff where he literally couldn't even do a dry swing. He couldn't even get on the Tristan Casas rehab program, okay? And we're going to, because he hit a home run, we're going to bring him up and expect him to hit. Please stop, as an organization, rushing these guys back. Give them a chance to come up and actually be successful. With Story, there's no chance, in my opinion. Now, if he's hitting 330 after 30 at-bats, I reserve the right to revise my opinion.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there. I was trying to pull up really quick because we had concerns about the bullpen. I'm not sure this is a hard pivot briefly, but who saw the game Monday late on Monday night? A guy they called up Wyatt Olds actually looked pretty good. Throwing 99 on the pen. His Savant chart obviously all red because he only has two innings pitched, but could provide some reinforcements out of the pen. You know, now onto the story debacle. I totally agree with Sogard. Now, you know, first career homer tonight. I actually said it on Monday. He was itching for his first career bomb. He's just really been putting good swings on the ball, even making a lot of loud outs, but more importantly, giving you high quality major league at bats, seeing a lot of pitches, working late, deep counts, getting good swings on the ball, and then also getting on base at a now 376 clip. That is very good. That is well above average. If we get that out of the leadoff spot, he plays very good defense at second base, does have some utility position qualities from what I've seen, not impressed with shortstop. I really do like him more at second, but he can play all infield positions and probably outfield positions as well. So totally agree with you, Jeremy. I think Siegler's kind of the next guy to go down when whoever's ready to come back up next. And I'm holding on to Sogard, and I actually really like what I'm seeing out of him in the leadoff position. Man, my thoughts on Trevor Story, my worst fears are coming true with the Sox. I've been saying it for, I guess, months now. I've been hoping that they were not counting on him coming back to play shortstop, you know, when he comes back from his injury. I said it back when we still had Meyer on the team. I said it even live that I would take Chang at shortstop over Story. So Jeremy, sounds like you're on board with that as well. Yeah, anybody over Story, including Mona. Mona obviously swinging a great bat offensively. Below average defensively, but you'll take the complete package at this time. And I was, I was a little bummed, guys, when I took a quick look at his numbers and I saw that he's been getting run at shortstop in AAA, and we've moved Arias to second base and DH these last few games while Story was there. Story isn't even the best shortstop on the WooSox right now, and he's winning the shortstop position there. I think this is the perfect opportunity to give him reps at second base. And then if you pull him up to the big leagues whenever he's ready, that's where he plays, if he plays at all in the field. But yeah, it looks like my biggest fear is about to come true. They're going to call him up. He's going to get the shortstop position for reasons I don't know. Seems like a good clubhouse guy. I'm sure he's a great guy to hang out with. But if he's the leader that everybody says he is, then he should have no problem taking a backseat to all of the guys on this team, because every single player on this roster right now has contributed more than Story has in 2026, at least. And I know he had a good year last year, so I don't want to knock him. He finally gave you 150 plus games and accrued a good amount of, you know, numbers overall. That's what happens when you play 150 plus games. But it's the one thing we probably all agree on. We have no interest in seeing Story back, and certainly back at shortstop. So yeah, I feel like he's going to ruin so many vibes. And more importantly, that at bat is just terrible. It's a hole in the lineup like we have not seen in years with this team. I mean, just a strikeout machine. And we said it the other night, right? No strikeouts on Monday. I think only three last night. There's zero chance that happens with Story in the lineup that we don't strike out as a team. So he's good for 1.5 over Ks per game every time. And yeah, just a bummer that he's on his way back, and we're probably going to see him playing short soon.
Yeah, I said it last night, and I'll say it again. Trevor Story is the albatross of this Red Sox roster, because the contract is an albatross. He himself as a player is that, because, look, unfortunately, you know, and I say that in kind of tongue-in-cheek, but he had a great 2025. 25 homers, 25 stolen bases. He kind of looked like the Trevor Story you saw in Colorado. So because of that, he kind of stayed off a DFA. Because after 2024, we were all banging the table saying, just DFA this guy. It didn't work. Eat some money and just get him off the roster because he's not providing any value. Then in 2025, he just has a miraculous year where he finally stays healthy, you know, plays a lot of games, as you mentioned, and yeah, racks up a lot of good stats. And all of a sudden the front office goes, oh, you know what? Yeah, there's the Trevor Story we know. Okay, only happened at, you know, 33 years old, but sure. Yeah, there he is. So it was kind of like a stay of execution for him. And then, of course, you come into this year. He sucks to begin the season. He's back to being what he was in, you know, 2024 and 2023. striking out a ton, not giving you anything, no power. You know, the arm keeps getting worse at shortstop, and then he gets hurt. And it's like, okay, well, we're back to just the old Trevor Story narrative of he's continuing to suck and now he's hurt. So, you know, look, Monasterio at shortstop, yeah, he's defensively, he lacks. Yeah, he's not the best. Is he a complete butcher? I don't think so. He made a nice play the other night, you know, turned that double play to end the game. Like, I think he's, you know, capable over there. But yeah, sure, he lacks a little bit. But the bat is for real. Again, he's another one of these guys. He puts the bat on the ball. And he's a right-handed hitter, which this team needs more of. And now Trevor Story's coming back. That guy's going to lose his job. Monasterio is going to go back to the bench because Trevor Story makes $23.5 million and he's a leader on this team. And, you know, he's going to get, you know, every day at bats when he comes back. And I really do think it's going to be a net negative for this offense because the strikeouts will come back. I don't think the power is going to come back. You know, sure, he's doing okay down AAA right now, but wait till he has to go up against big league pitching where they're, you know, throwing 100 on the black. Like, he can't handle that. So it just makes your team weaker. And I don't know, it's tough because it's just the front office just going to kowtow to him. I mean, remember earlier in the year when Cora got fired and there was that report about how Trevor Story, like, stormed into Breslow's office demanding an explanation? Like, for all the people saying, oh, Story's such a good guy, he's a good leader, and, you know, feel bad for him, that report kind of shows you who Trevor Story really is. He's a veteran who's a little bit entitled. Again, he got the big contract, you know, had a lot of good years in Colorado, and his comments the other day about how he said, well, I don't think I need the maximum rehab assignment. I've been through this before. I'll know when I'm ready. That to me was him kind of saying, like, yeah, I don't want a long rehab assignment. I want to be back in the majors as soon as possible. I don't want to play in Worcester for 2 weeks. It feels to me like this guy just feels like he has the organization over a barrel. And unfortunately, the front office, just because of the contract and everything else, they're going to give him that. So, you know, they're going to activate him sooner than we think. And he's going to be back in that lineup. And I guess what you have to hope is that I don't think he's ever going to do what he did in 2025 again. But can he do like half of that and at least not be a complete black hole in your lineup? I mean, because at the end of the day, he's not getting benched. He's just not. The reality is no team is going to bench. And I said it last night, unless you're Anthony Rendon, teams don't bench guys that make that kind of money. It just, they don't. And the Red Sox certainly don't. They don't have a history of doing that. So I feel like he's going to strong arm his way back into the lineup, and it's just going to make things worse and worse. I, for one, would rather see Franklin Arias come up and play shortstop for this team than Trevor Story, but you're getting Trevor Story. And look, maybe it means that Monasterio moves to DH, right? Something like that. You know, I think for the time being, until Anthony's ready, that's probably your best case scenario, right? Trevor Story insists on coming back playing shortstop. Fine. You know, you got an empty DH spot now with Yoshida, probably done for the year. You know, put Monasterio in that DH spot or platoon him with whoever. I think that's your best case scenario because, unfortunately, I think Story's getting every day at bats.
Yep, I mean, you're on mute there, Jeremy. So, yeah, Jason, you ultimately got to where I was going to get to, which is there's a hole at DH, and if you really want to rush Story back, then go ahead and plug him in at DH. I think the fact of the matter is Mona has earned the right to at least a lineup spot, whether it's at DH or shortstop. Sogard has earned he's earned the right to play second base for this team right now. I don't care about Story's contract. I don't think he's earned the right to come and walk back into shortstop, but you're probably right. He probably comes back, plays shortstop. Mona slides over to DH, and I think there's two things that I'm going to be holding out hope on. One being the scenario that you just mentioned with Breslow and apparently him storming into the office and, you know, throwing a hissy fit or whatever. There's a scenario that could play out that Breslow, who, you know, has shown his signs of pettiness in the past, so maybe he can hold the ultimate block or trump card to keep Story from playing shortstop. But again, He's playing shortstop over Arias, which I disagree with in AAA. So we're probably looking at a path back to shortstop here. And then the second thing I'll hold off hope for, if the first part doesn't come true, which is I hope it's a very short leash, you know. All right, Story, you want to come back? Guess what? Here's your position. You got a week's worth of games to prove that you can play this position on both sides of the ball. If you come back in and you're booting the ball all over the field on defense and you're going 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts on offense, after 5 or 6 games, I don't think I need to see any more of you to know that this is the player that you are. I mean, for all the things that Breslow and these guys do, they crunch numbers, they see the Savant charts, they have to know that Story is a complete anchor to this lineup, and not in a good way, in a deadweight way, right? Not in a I can lean on you, you're my rock anchor type of way. So yeah, you know, he's already ruining and spoiling the fun that we've been having here the last couple months watching the Sox. But again, I just hope it's a short leash if and when he comes back.
So when the trade deadline happened, I talked about Meyer and Anthony being given the keys to the kingdom years ago, and along with Teal and Campbell, and how that seemingly blew up in their face when it was time for them to ascend to lead the team. And to me, Trevor Story has been an institutional problem for years. The Breslow trade, Cora firing thing is a loud example of what I'm talking about. But this guy, who has had one good year as a Red Sox, plays in Worcester on Sunday, comes back to Boston on Monday, even though he's planning on playing on Tuesday, okay, and does an interview in the locker room where he says, when I'm ready. And it's not necessarily about results, and it's how I feel. Listen, you mother bleeper, shut up and do your job. And it's not his fault. It is, but it's not all his fault, because he has been emblazoned to act like the giant douche that he is. Who are you to go into the media and tell the media and essentially the front office and Tracy when you're going to play? Shut up, Trevor. Shut up. Go to AAA. Do your job. Get in shape. Get your 20, 30 at bats, and then we'll see what happens. Because if you keep this stuff up, you're in DFA area. You got 1 year left. They are in a much better position to eat that contract than they were even this time last year. All right. So here's my point. Here is the time to get back some organizational control. Right. You got rid of Meyer. You sent Anthony to Fort Myers and you addressed that whole issue. They don't have the keys to the castle anymore. This is an issue. It's an organizational issue, and it sets a bad precedent to guys like Anthony that he can call up Breslow and say, hey, I just hit a home run last night. I'm ready to go. That's not how it works. What's in the best interest of the big league club is what should work. Trevor Story coming back and being in the lineup Friday does not fall into that category. And then you double down on his conduct and his behavior and his commentary and his passive aggressive comments to the front office through the media. And I wouldn't be petty. I'd say, Trevor, you just bought yourself another 20 at bats in Worcester. Keep it up, pal. And by the way, if you don't hit, you don't play. And if you boot 3 balls down there, you don't play. Because it does matter. The results do matter when you get to the big league club. It's not how you feel. It's the results. So I've had enough. And those comments, if you can't tell, pissed me off beyond recognition, because he's putting himself above the team. And that can't be your leader. It can't.
Got his numbers up here. It's his fifth season in Boston. They're so bad. 5 seasons, 361 games, 443 strikeouts, 336 hits. So he's got more than 100 strikeouts than he does hits. 205 RBI in 361 games. He's not even getting on base 30% of the time. I don't even know why he's in the conversation. Like, Arias should be ahead of him in the line of guys to be called up to the big league club ahead of him. I can't believe we're in this situation where we're in the middle of a pennant run. All of these guys, that's one of our keys to success. That's a strength of the team, what you just mentioned, Jeremy, which is the selflessness of all of these guys. Wilson Contreras, he'll play until, you know, until they have to drag him off the field. Sidan Rafaela, a quiet killer professional guy. Willier Abreu has some ups and downs, streaky guys, but goes about it every single day the same exact way. Caleb Durbin, I mean, I'm eventually going to take the L. I should have taken the L a while on him. I was hard on him in the beginning. Who wasn't? But an absolute dirt dog, you know, broken pinky. We've just seen him go out there and play every day. Story does not fit that mold in any way, whether it's intangibles, physicals, outside of the fact that he has athleticism and can run the bases pretty well. He has nothing in common with the current roster. And yeah, I'm just worried that, you know, his entitlement, whatever that level of bravado, the ego is going to come in and kind of ruin the mojo that we've got going on in the clubhouse. But we'll have to wait and see. You know, still 5 or 6 weeks left to go. I still think Arias, we do see him in a Red Sox uniform, and potentially that's due to Story coming up next week, you know, struggling heavily for 2 weeks, and then we're forced to call up Arias during September call-up time. So, you know, he may end up turning a negative into a positive here, where it shows his true colors, which is you're not a big leaguer anymore, and you certainly shouldn't be a top nine starter on the third best team in the AL, a team that's pushing for a playoff race and potentially competing for an American League pennant when it's all said and done. So, yeah, get comfortable on the bench, Story. That's my take.
Yeah, you both brought up a good point about the culture of this Red Sox team. When they went on that winning streak, it's not because Jaron Duran turned back into 24 Jaron Duran or anything like that. It was plucky kind of baseball. It was guys like Anthony Siegler just, you know, going on a little bit of a hot streak. It was Mickey Gasper at times. It was, you know, Nick Sogard. It was these guys who they know that, look, I've got to produce because, you know, they're kind of, I don't want to say journeymen because they're not that old, but they're not prospects, right? They're just, you know, they're edge of the roster guys who know that they have to put in their best to stay on the major league roster. And as you guys mentioned, Trevor Story is the antithesis of that. He feels like he's entitled to be on the major league roster. And yeah, I just feel like that's going to completely throw off everything they've been doing to get back into this race, to get back into a playoff spot. And it's just, it's worrying that he's going to really mess up that culture for the young guys.
These guys are fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their careers, to your point, Jason, right? And Story comes in with this, you know, kneel and kiss the ring mentality. It just, we'll have to wait and see how it actually plays out. But my bar is on the ground for my expectations for Trevor Story.
Yeah, 100%. And look, one of the guys that they traded away to kind of, you know, as Jeremy said, you don't have the keys to the kingdom anymore, Marcelo Meyer. Unfortunately, we will probably not see him this weekend. I was kind of hoping that he was going to like rush his rehab assignment so he could get an at bat at Fenway Park in a Giants uniform, just see if he get booed or not. But unfortunately, he will not be back, but Rafael Devers will be. So this weekend, starting Friday night, marks the return of Rafael Devers to Fenway Park as a member of the San Francisco Giants. First game is Friday night at 7:10. No starter listed for the Giants. Obviously, they sold at the deadline. They're kind of shuffling their rotation all over the place. But we do know that Sonny Gray will be going for the Red Sox. Jeremy, I'll start with you. How do you feel about Friday night?
I love our chances. Sonny Gray stat. I gave it last show I was on. He has 14 starts with an earned run or less. This team needs him for a variety of reasons to continue to be who he's been. But the bullpen, the starting rotation is fraying at the edges. He has to be good, and he will be good, I believe, in this series. I do think Devers is going to be a one man wrecking ball. And I wouldn't be surprised with like four bombs and 11 RBIs or some ridiculous thing. But if you can have those be solo shots, assuming that's what happens, and obviously there's no guarantee, you can still limit the damage and win this series starting with the Gray start.
So actually, Matt, before you go, so I looked up on ESPN, I think everything got shuffled on everyone. So ESPN has it listed as Jake Bennett going for the Red Sox against Logan Webb, who is the Giants' best pitcher. So, Jeremy, I don't know if you want to amend your take on Friday at all.
So, Sonny pitches in game two. I've already talked about game two.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this game, until Bennett, I would have liked to see him skip a start. Even maybe like a short DL, like just get him off his feet, get him some rest. So we have him down the stretch, but it looks like they just moved him back a couple days. I don't love this game. I know it's coming off the day off and the bullpen should be a decent spot, but I don't like this matchup. Not the way Bennett's been pitching the last three times out.
Yeah, thank you, Jason, for the clarification. I had checked MLB.com before we jumped on, so it had all TBDs for the Giants and then Gray, Sandoval, and Bennett going in that order. So I guess it changes a few things. I mean, one, I do agree. I think Devers is going to put probably a few baseballs in the seats. I don't think he's going to take Gray deep. Gray just doing a great job spinning the ball. Jeremy, you mentioned earlier on the show that Tolley's our ace and nobody would argue with you. I think you could argue that Gray is the ace, but it's not a big argument. They're the top two guys in the rotation. I'll take either of them to start a game, to stop a losing streak. I think they're both stoppers. They're both having great seasons. Gray has been as reliable as it comes. Yeah, don't love that matchup and as much as I did heading into this show, which is now, I guess, Webb versus Bennett on Friday. I have previously said that they're giving Bennett a few days extra rest. That seemed to be incorrect. It looks like he'll be going on a sixth-day rest. He pitched last Friday, so week in between, a little bit extra time. But, yeah, he seems to be running out of gas. And talk about another guy hitting his career innings limit. You know, obviously I want him to turn around, but Logan Webb is their best pitcher, one of the better pitchers in all of baseball for the past few years, actually. So I actually expect him to come in and pitch well. We're probably not looking too good in game one. I'll take Gray versus anybody in game two. And then do you have the matchup for that third game?
Yeah, it is Sunday? Patrick Sandoval against Carson Wisenhunt.
Okay. Don't know much about either. Sandoval struggling mightily here. Don't love what you're getting out of him, but I'll take the Sox to win the series just because the Giants are not a good ball club. They'll probably get that Webb start. He really is a solid pitcher, but yeah, hopefully Bennett can turn it around. I agree. I'd like to see him skip a start or two and just try to get some freshness back, because there's another guy that we're going to need to rely on. When we get to the playoffs, if we get to the playoffs, you can make a three-man rotation work. You can get creative with your bullpen, but I still think you need 4.5 quality guys to get it done here down the stretch. So we want a chance to win at least, you know, 4 out of these 5 games. Sandoval's probably not giving you that chance to win, at least as of late. So I'll take the Sox 2 out of 3. I like them at home versus a struggling team on the opposite coast. And, yeah, expect Devers to remind us of the type of hitter he is, which I don't love Devers, but a very good major league hitter. I will say that.
Yeah, I still like the Red Sox in the series, but I think I agree with you. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday that they win. So Carson Wisenhunt is coming in with an ERA over 7. So, you know, nothing special there. Logan Webb is their best pitcher, but he hasn't been the same Logan Webb this year. 8-7 with a 3.5 ERA. And his strikeouts are way down. His strikeout over 9 is down a whole 2 points from what it was last year. So not sure what's going on there. I don't know if he's been dealing with injuries throughout the year, but he has not been the same. Unfortunately, I agree with Jeremy. I don't love Jake Bennett going on Friday. He, to me, looks like a guy who is starting to fade a little bit. I kind of wish they had skipped his start. You know, I agree with Jeremy on that. So I'm a little bit worried about how Bennett's going to perform. I think the Red Sox can get to Logan Webb. He's starting to give up a lot more contact. He's not getting as much swing and miss, but I'm not sure Bennett is going to give you what you need to win that game. I could see him kind of fading by the third or fourth inning. And if that happens, you know, I could see Logan Webb and the Giants kind of nailing it down there, you know, later on. Because this Red Sox offense, like, they've been good against Arizona, but again, they're a streaky offense. I could see them kind of shutting down on Friday night, especially after an off day. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those weird things. So I think they'll still win the series, but I do have concerns about that Friday matchup. I'm not high on Jake Bennett right now. I think he's a guy who really needs a rest, and he's going up against a guy who is still an ace despite having a down year. So still think they'll win the series, but not feeling good about Friday night. But again, hopefully I'm wrong. So we will see what happens there.
Yeah, real quick, Jason, just because you mentioned Webb was struggling, I pulled up his numbers real quick, and the splits are kind of telling. April, March, ERA by month, April, March, 4.3. May was awful, 7.56. June, absolute nails, a 0.71 ERA in the month of June. July, way back up above 6.5. August, back down to June numbers, which is an ERA under 1 at 0.9. So probably trending towards, dealing on Friday night.
Yeah.
Well, you can count on 3 strikeouts against Story. I kid, of course.
Is he playing Friday? You're predicting he comes back Friday, Jeremy? Is that the – yeah. If he's – yeah, count him in for 3 strikeouts. Count him in for 9 Ks all weekend if he's playing the entire series, for sure.
God, I hope that's wrong. I hope he's not there this weekend. But I have a sneaky feeling that we're not going to get our wish, so – we'll see what happens on the Trevor Story front. We'll see what happens with this Giants series. Until then, we'll be back on the air tomorrow night. So stay tuned to your YouTube feeds to see when we go live.